Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Michelle Rosado, the Raging Babe, and welcome to Raging Babe Radio Ring Walk to Alvarado Rios 3. Big fight tonight on HBO, but we're going to get you caught up on all the latest boxing news today, all of the major headlines. We're going to deliver our most honest and authentic take on the most talked about news in boxing right now, upcoming fights, confirmed fights, rumored fights. My co-host today from New Jersey is Jacqueline Purcell. You can follow her at The Boxing Diva. That's T-H-A, Boxing Diva. Jackie, say hello to everyone.
Hey, y'all. I'm back on radio. It's been a little while. I'm happy to be here with you, Michelle, and as a Raging Babe.
Let's do it. We've got about 8 hot topics that we want to talk about before we go into Ring Walk, where we're going to give our official fight night predictions on Alvarado Rios, and we're going to open the lines, and we want to take all of your predictions as well. If you're listening online and you want to talk to us, the number is 347-857-1525, and to speak to us, you have to press 1 so that I can pick you up. I'm getting better on the switchboard. Bear with me, but let's dive right into our hot topics, and we're going to start off on a couple hot topics from that drug into this week from last week. The numbers for Wilder Stiverne came out. Press release went out that said it was the highest rated bout on any premium network in the past year. It drew a record viewership of 1.24 million and it peaked at 1.34 million. So I think that tells you that we are starving for heavyweights. It was a good fight and I'm glad that it did great viewership. Not sure if it really was the highest rated bout in the past year, because I think Chavez Vera did a little bit more than that, but hey, whatever. We're not going to dwell on that too much. Leo Santa Cruz, a video came out on Monday. They interviewed him about a fight with Rigondeaux. And what's it going to take for him to fight Rigondeaux? $3 million. They said, would you fight him for $1 million? He says, no, maybe I'd fight him for $3 million. Jackie, what are your thoughts on that?
Leo Santa Cruz made $750,000 for his last fight. And, like, everybody's been saying, he's been fighting cab drivers. I guess we could say Uber drivers because we're in 2015 now. But $750,000 to $3 million, that's like a 400, 300-something percent. I know I work in finance, guys, but bear with me. Increase. He's out of his mind. Rigondeaux, I don't know. Like, I just don't think it's going to draw viewers with casual fans. Like, I don't think it's going to pull in, especially not, like, Wilder Stiverne numbers. I don't think that the whole fight is worth $3 million. I think, Leo, I'd give him $1 million. I'd give him $1 million. Okay. Yeah, to step up and not fight an Uber driver that can pick me up at Newark Airport. But I'm not giving him $3 million.
You know, and I kind of agree with you. I don't think it would really draw a big viewership because Leo Santa Cruz, unfortunately, his fan base has been spiraling downward instead of growing. And it's because of the opposition that he's been facing and some other things. We all know that Rigondeaux is not a big draw. He does not have a huge fan base. I mean, I think we tune in because we want to see it, but, you know, I don't think it's going to do, 1.3 million viewers, and I don't think it's a 3 million fight, whether that were to be on Showtime or NBC or Spike, wherever it is that they put that. It's just an astronomical number, and I don't feel like Leo just kind of pulled that out of his ass. I think that came from somewhere. You know, when they said, well, what would it take to fight him? And it almost sounded a little bit rehearsed. And if you want to go watch that video, I watched that interview on Dante's Boxing Nation on YouTube. So you guys can go check that out and let me know what you think about that. Moving on, let's talk about Jermaine Taylor. What a week for Jermaine Taylor, Jackie.
Oh,
he was arrested on gun charges. He is actually being charged with 5 counts of aggravated assault, 3 counts of endangering welfare of minors, and marijuana possession. He was at the Martin Luther King parade in Little Rock, Arkansas, where he's from. And let me tell you, he was out there drinking and dancing and turning up. And apparently,
you know, it's such a shame. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, he unloaded his gun, apparently.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jack.
It's such a shame that, you know, the company I work for, we have a manufacturing site in North Little Rock, Arkansas, and I can't tell you when people find out at work I'm into boxing, especially the people from Paris, come up to me and say, oh, when I was there, I went to see this guy fight Jermaine Taylor. You know, it was Jermaine Taylor, and Jermaine Taylor, that's their boxing knowledge in North Little Rock. And I think he really could have done something like Terrence Crawford has done for his hometown. And he needs help beyond boxing. He really, I don't know if it's, you know, the people around him, or but I think we're beyond that, because when this happened, wasn't he out on bail for another incident that happened pretty recently?
You're absolutely right. If everyone remembers, there was also a shooting in August where I believe he shot his cousin in his house, and then he had threatened his wife, he threatened his kids, and so this past, you know, weekend or Monday, he was at the Martin Luther King parade, and I guess he unloaded shots from the gun. He also, somebody came out and said that he pointed the gun at a gentleman, and then he pistol whipped the guy. And so anyway, he's been arrested, and from his bathtub, he put out an apology. He just said, you know, I'm sorry if I let anybody down. I make mistakes. But apparently he was really angry at the parade because there was no candy for the little kids. And he's like, y'all need to get it together. And, you know, there is something definitely wrong. And like you said, Jackie, he has other people, I think, who enable him. You know, he's got Al Haymon who continues to get him fights. He's got the Bella who promotes him again. I mean, we're putting him on TV. And, you know, there was 6 years ago, he couldn't even get medically cleared to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and it's a shame because it's the perfect story of somebody who's been given another chance and another chance and another chance and just abuses it, where there's fighters out there that would die for another chance because they had one bad night. And it's just a really shame, a real shame. And it's sad to see that the community let somebody down like that. There should be more people trying to help him and stay on the right path than allowing him. Who, if he's your boy, he just got a gun charge in August, why are you letting him carry a gun? That's, you should say, no, you don't need that. You know what I mean? It's just a shame.
Yeah, and you know, maybe he's taken too many shots to the head, which is sad, but at this point, you could almost say that he's a danger to society. If he's pistol-whipping mm-hmm. guys with his gun, if he's fucking shots in the air, and he's shooting his cousin, at this point, you're right. It's like, hey, the dude just might need some help. You know, let's maybe stop mocking him and making fun of him and realize that he could be a real danger.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, adding on to this, he was supposed to fight Sergio Mora. That fight's off. The Bella is now looking for a replacement for Taylor so that Mora can continue to fight in February. And that's all. Hopefully he gets help. You know, what more can we say? Let's go on to the next hot topic. Oscar De La Hoya announced on Tuesday that he's planning to launch a TV channel designed to take viewers behind the scenes of the boxing business. It is called De La Hoya TV Behind Boxing, which I think this is really cool. The channel is going to be a Spanish-language channel targeted towards Hispanics here in the U.S. Programming plans include following top fighters as they prepare for their fights, other aspects of training. They're going to focus on different destinations and hotspots in the country, and they're saying it might roll out in the next couple months. So I think this is really cool because when everybody was counting Oscar out and they thought, you know, he was done, Heyman's doing NBC, he's doing Spike, oh my God, here the whole time Oscar was behind the scenes working on his own damn network.
I think it's a great idea. I have you know, you're a businesswoman and I try to be. I have a few questions. Is it online or is it a channel I can turn on my TV? Is it going to be offered to English language and Spanish language, you know, for those of us that don't have a full grasp of the Spanish language? Is to have a channel, Oprah Winfrey had trouble launching a channel. She lost a lot of money. So somebody with an international grasp like Oprah, what makes me think, if I were an investor, what gives me the hope that De La Hoya can carry an entire network? You need 24/7 programming, and I don't think people are going to tune into that. I love the concept, do not get me wrong. I think there's so much that can be done you could have a center type thing two times a week, whatever. But what's the difference between this and just an extended version of All Access or 24/7 before a fight?
Well, you know, they haven't put out all the details, but they are looking for other programs beyond boxing, and it's actually called WTV Beyond Boxing. So they are going to do stuff with the fighters and behind the scenes, but they are looking for stuff behind beyond boxing.
Okay.
Yeah, other sports, maybe some reality shows, I don't know. Now, if you go to the website, it's StellaHoyaTV.com, I believe. It looks really great. I mean, it's put together professionally. They've got some good videos on there. And I'd like to see it succeed. I'd like to see some more reality stuff going on, some more behind the scenes, because, you know, the Road to Rio, Alvarado and all, while it was cool on HBO, it was like 15 minutes. The All Access is kind of getting played out. You know, how many more times are we going to see Floyd throwing up money, you know, slapping, you know, strippers' asses and all this stuff? So hopefully they really get into the grassroots and we could see family interaction, you know, what these fighters are really going through, you know, whether they have to leave home, whether they're still working a 9-to-5. People forget a lot of these fighters are still blue-collar fighters and have to hold down a job, or their wife is holding down a job. So hopefully Oscar can bring us that aspect of the fighter's life.
Yeah, and if that's the case and it goes beyond other sports, like you said, I'm sold as it is. I'm just concerned about him being able to carry it, or the sport being able to carry a full network is where that came from.
So, yeah. Well, we'll see. Not sure if it's online. Not sure if it's going to be a channel. But look, our phone lines are lighting up right now, so I'm not going to let them sit on hold too much longer. So I'm going to pick up the 323, and let's get his thoughts or on what we're talking about here. Let's see, 323, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Andrew, I'm calling from South Central, Los Angeles.
South.
It's a beautiful day out here in California. I'm chilling. Just excited to see what's going on with boxing, see what changes are coming. I'm a little disappointed that Danny Garcia, Lamont Peterson is at a catchweight again, which is stupid, you know, but that's Al Haymon stuff for you. We've come to expect, you know, a dangling carrot in front of us. But I'm excited to see that fight. Thurman and Guerrero's okay. I just see that more as like a showcase for Thurman. I don't expect Guerrero to give him much, and I'm glad that Canelo stuck to his guns. You know, he's going to fight May 2nd. He can pack 40,000 in San Antonio, and Kirkland's from Texas. And we're just waiting on, you know, to see what happens with Floyd and Manny. You know, it's gonna be interesting. I honestly don't think he's going to fight Manny, and Manny's not going to fight him. So we'll see what we get. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, let me first talk about Peterson Garcia. So we were going to touch on that later, but we could just talk about that now. I was a little disappointed to hear that too, and I contacted some people and I asked, you know, why is that happening? Why do that? You know, Danny's had a belt that he hasn't defended since the Herrera fight. So by the time he fights Peterson, it's going to be over a year. And then, you know, the same thing with Peterson, he's got the IBF belt. And everyone I spoke to in the business told me the same thing. It's control. Whether Peterson wins or loses, he still got the belt, and Al Haymon could still, you know, control the belt. And, you know, Danny's plan is to probably then vacate and move up. So it's about control. It's this chess game again. But, yeah, it's pretty disappointing.
I mean, because it's premier boxing champions, and your champions aren't putting their belt on the line. So I just find that it's funny. It's funny.
That's
a really good point.
That's a really good point.
A lot of boxing fans don't have common sense that I've noticed, you know, messing around on Twitter. My boy Jason, shout out to my boy Jason out in NY, but it's premier boxing champions. Your champions are supposed to put the belt on them, like Ric Flair said, you got to beat the man to beat a man. And, you know, it's just funny. I just find it comical.
I do, too. And now that you put it that way, that's such a good point. You know, how they're going to start off with that. The other thing you mentioned was Canelo. Am I glad that he moved on? Yes. You know, he's come to be his own boss. You know, everybody wants to talk about who's a boss. And Canelo really does call his own shots, and I love that about him. Am I thrilled that he's going to be fighting Kirkland? I would have been really happy if that would happen late last year. I just think that Kirkland's been out of the ring way too long. It's probably going to be a great fight while it lasts. But, God, he's going to be out of the month out of the ring for 17 months by the time that this fight comes around.
Definitely, I agree with you. I completely agree with you.
And his last fight was Glenn Tapia, who was a prospect.
But I also think, though, that it's regardless when you North American fighter can pack 40,000 in the stadium, and regardless of whether Floyd fans want to admit it or not, if that fight happens while he's fighting Cotto, 40,000 in the stadium with a Mexican undercard, you know what I mean? That's going to take away from his pay-per-views regardless. It's going to look good on camera as opposed to his 15,000 in MGM with Cotto. So it's a chess move, and you got to give Canelo credit for doing that.
I give him mad props for doing it. And, you know, I stopped picking against him a while ago, you know, because he always proved me wrong. And at first I thought, oh, you know, is he really the real deal or not? And I won't pick against the kid anymore. I mean, against Floyd, obviously, I think we all picked Floyd to win that fight, but I won't pick against him. I think he's going to be around for the while. Talking about catch weight, they did mention that this fight would be at 155. So here he goes again for the second or third fight in a row in the 155. What's your take on that?
I honestly, I'm not too high on Canelo. I like him. I'm Mexican too, so I'm going to root for him. But I honestly think he needs a new camp. His training camp has had him limited. He can't cut off the ring. Triple G will work that boy real quick, and I just think the time's come for him to get a new train. He needs a new fit. I would love to see him with a Robert Garcia. I know he can't go to Abel Sanchez, but someone even a John David Jackson. I just think he needs new wrinkles to his game, and he hasn't taken the steps up that I would like to see him take as far as new wrinkles to his game. He can't cut off the ring that well, and it's just I think Oscar is going to try to help him match carefully, but, you know, I think he's not going to be able to make 154. He can't make it now comfortably, so he just needs to – I think he needs to get a new camp and then just move up to 160, give us that trilogy, give us that current-day Ali Frazier with Triple G. You know, that'd be awesome. But I think he needs a new camp. He's got talent. He's young. And there's time for him to put him in with a new trainer and adjust. But I think he's very loyal to the Reynosos, and I don't see him moving camp. But then I don't see him becoming that all-time great if you don't move camps.
Yeah. Well, what I think we will see is I think HBO is going to really take him to a whole nother level. I think if they do a 24/7, it's going to be all that. Because I want to see Ann Wolf and James Kirkland. I mean, she puts him through almost slavery. I mean, he gets locked in a dungeon. He gets no phone. He gets no TV. He's out there pulling tractors through horse shit, you know, and I want to see that. And I think that they'll really get we're really going to get to see Canelo, too, behind the scenes a little more where – remember when he was on HBO, or maybe it was All Access, where he was trying to learn English a little better, and we really just kind of got to see the human side. Yeah.
And the ladies love Canelo. The Latina ladies love Canelo. They need to market him more, and yeah, he'll be fine. He'll draw the ratings once Floyd and Manny are gone. It's just like from a boxing side, I just don't see the improvement in his game from his coaches. I think his coaches have him limited to a degree.
Yeah. They're speculating that fight is going to go down May 2nd in San Antonio, was it?
San Antonio,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, the only way that it won't land on May 2nd is if the Floyd Pacquiao fight gets done. But if it doesn't get made, then, you know, it's been pretty much confirmed for the most part that it'll land in Texas, which is awesome, on May 2nd. Which one are you going to watch? Are you going to watch Floyd on Cinco de Mayo weekend, or would you watch Canelo Kirkland?
I'm going to watch Canelo Kirkland. I've never been a Floyd fan like that. I'm like, he's got great defensive, but I grew up watching fighters try to finish fights, not get points to win. And Floyd doesn't try to finish fights. That's all it comes down to. He's great at what he does. He's been matched great, but Floyd don't try to finish the fight. Floyd don't try to finish it like a Hagler, like a Hearns, like the black fighters I grew up watching. He don't try to do that. You know, he plays it safe to win. And nothing wrong with it. He still gets in the ring. But From my entertainment value, I want to see two guys go in there and bang. Like, when boxing first started, there wasn't a winner till either someone was knocked out or someone quit. And you know what I mean? I'm not saying they got to go toe-to-toe, but you got to see a fighter trying to finish the guy off, not just like, okay, let me pot shot him a couple times and let me run around, let me do that again. And, you know, and it's not going to be entertaining. We already seen Cotto and Mayweather, because I know Pacquiao, Pacquiao Mayweather's not going to happen. We know that. And it's funny to hear these people say Aram's lying. I'm like, Aram's Jewish. Les Moonves is Jewish. This is the highest grossing fight ever. You mean to tell me that they don't want to make this fight? It's just ridiculous. Come on. Especially Jewish people not trying to make money? Come on. That's like a joke. I even think Hayden wants to make the fight.
Well, Andrew, look, before we let you go, I want to get your take on tonight's fight. We got Rios Alvarado 3 rubber match.
My heart says Alvarado because I don't like Rios, but I think Rios pulls it out. It's gonna be a great fight. I think Rios stops him in the 10th.
All right, well, there you have it. Thank you for calling in. We're going to move on and take some more callers, but enjoy the fight tonight.
Oh, yeah, now I'm going to be a regular. Thanks for letting me give my two cents.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was a good caller. I hope none
of
the callers
good caller.
Are coming for us today. Last week, we had people coming at our neck, so that was nice and refreshing, and that's what it's all about. Everybody can have their own opinions. We could talk about whatever headlines, whatever fights you want to talk about. You could be honest. You could be unpredictable and authentic. Just don't come for us. We're all trying to do the same thing here and do something we love and talk about it. So, all right, let's see. We talked about De La Hoya TV. We talked about some other hot topics. Why don't we get into Lucas Matisse? Let's jump to him. Lucas Matisse just yesterday signed a 5-year extension with Golden Boy Promotions. And I was kind of shocked to hear that, because we know that most Hayman fighters are not under contract with Golden Boy. And if they were, they did not extend that contract once it expired. So he pretty much said, you know, he wanted to continue working with Oscar. Golden Boy is my family. And if we all remember last year, he did voice some displeasure when he was on Broner's undercard in Cincinnati. So he wasn't really happy about that. He's a real fighter. He wants to fight. He wants bigger fights. He could care less about the glitz and the glam. I noticed that he wasn't at the NBC press conference. He wasn't at the commercial shoot. So we probably all should have got the hint that something was probably up then. I'm getting some word that Leo Santa Cruz and Amir Khan might actually sign an extension too. I don't know if I believe that. Again, I got that from a source that I do trust, but that's not confirmed. And me personally, I don't see Leo Santa Cruz extending that promotional contract with Golden Boy, but I'm told that he's really considering it. So good for Matisse. He really wants that Ruslan-Provodnikov fight, which might get done in April. We'll talk about that a little later when we talk about upcoming fights. But, signed a 5-year extension. Jackie, any thoughts on that?
I'm just really interested to see where this goes. Like you said, a lot of Hayman fighters are letting their Golden Boy contracts expire without signing an extension. So I think I can't really form an opinion on a yay or nay yet, because I don't know what the intention is. So we'll see, but it'll be interesting. I'm actually looking at Twitter right now. I'm seeing Ruslan Provodnikov tweeted something about he definitely wants the teeth and they want to make it happen. It's kind of a little popping off a little bit right now. So I think it'll be really interesting to see, and I don't know how it's all going to go down. But I like Matisse. I've always liked Matisse. We all know how I feel about Broner, so that made me like him even more. So I'm in his corner, whatever he decides to do.
Not only did Lucas voice his displeasure when he was on the Broner undercard, but I remember being at his fight against John Molina. And after that fight, when he won, they lifted him up on their shoulders, you know, his team. And I remember Sam Watson and those guys were, you know, kind of cheering. And he was kind of yelling at them. And I think he was saying, like, give me Danny Garcia again. But he looked mad. And guys, go back on YouTube, look at the end of that fight, because I remember – actually, I was sitting with Gabriel Rosado at the fight, and I'm like, dude, look at Lucas yelling at him. Like, he was mad. He beat John Molina, and he was legitimately upset when, you know, Sam Watson and those guys were cheering him on. So I don't think he's really, really super happy just being Team Heyman. I think that he likes having a home. I think that's why he stuck with Golden Boy Promotions. Real quick, before we go back to the lines, another quick hot topic here is that Judge CJ Ross is planning a return to boxing. Jenna on the Ropes, our other raging babe, had her on the radio this week, and Judge CJ Ross, who has judged many high-profile matches in Las Vegas, including Mayweather, Canelo, Khan, Maidana, Pacquiao, Bradley, which was the most controversial fight in recent history, she pretty much said that she's moved out of Vegas, wouldn't likely ever judge in Vegas again, but would like to judge again. She said, when your fighter loses, you're going to find something wrong with the judging, and she still feels that Pacquiao Bradley was a close fight. So looks like she's looking to make a major comeback in the boxing.
Lord Jesus.
I think that if she were to come back, she should be put through serious evaluation. We all have evaluations at our job, right? She should be put through the ringer to see where she is, like an athlete coming off a concussion. Because once we lose your trust, right, as the fans, we're not going to – she could score the best fight in the whole wide world, but we're always going to question it coming off of her card, I feel like. So if she wants to come back to boxing, that's on her. I don't think she's going to face a very good public opinion. I don't think that a lot of people are going to want her to score their fights. I know that's not really a choice that fighters have, but do you know what I mean? I don't think we're going to open our arms and give her a big warm, fuzzy hug.
Yeah. Well, before we get into more Floyd Mayweather news and some other stuff, let's go back to the phone line. We have somebody here that's been waiting patiently for 19 minutes from 917, which I believe is New York. 917, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Vlad again. How are you?
Hey, Vlad. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I got to tell you, that first caller was awesome. I actually tweeted that and told him he did a great job. So it's kind of tough to follow him. He did an awesome job with you guys.
Good. And let me just put it out there. That's our friend Andrew, and you can follow him on Twitter at TheOnlySanch. That's TheOnly, S-A-N-C-H.
Yep.
Okay,
so
go ahead, Vlad.
I just want to say, I'm in a good mood these days because – on the one hand, you can look and you can gripe about what's going on with, you know, negotiations with Mayweather and Pacquiao, that Canelo Cotto broke down. So you could look at the glass, half empty, or you can look at the fact that we have tremendous fights coming up in March. We have tremendous fights, in April. And then we're going to have something in May, right? So we know we have for sure we have Canelo Kirkland, which is going to be exciting. We know it's not going to be a full 12-round fight, some fireworks. And then we'll have something else in May that's going to come up. And, people not talking about Kovalev-Pascal as much. So
mm-hmm.
There's great stuff coming up. So I'm very excited. Provodnikov, Matisse, you guys kind of stole my thunder. I was going to talk about that. I mean, that's a tremendous fight. I mean, if you think Rios Alvarado won, was spectacular. Wait till these two guys get in the ring because none of them know how to run and kind of, faint. And, they just come at it 100 miles an hour. So it's good stuff. I'm very excited. I went to a great show this week at Webster Hall. Local New York City fighters were fighting. I saw Paulie Malignaggi there. I said, Paul, it's good to see you at these shows. What brought you out here? And he said, not all fights are on a big stage. He said, you're going to see much better fights here at these clubs than you will on the bright stage. And he really couldn't have said it better. So I'm in a good mood when it comes to boxing. And of course, tonight we got something very special in the works. So it's good. Everything's good.
Well, and flying under the radar is the return of GGG. He's back in the ring soon, and he's a big fan favorite.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about him, and I love GGG, and I've followed him for a long time, and not to take anything away from his opponent is a formidable guy, but I really think this is it. After this, it's got to be somebody that has that clout. It's got to be, I'm not even going to say Canelo or Cotto, but it's, I mean, at least maybe Kid Chocolate. It's got to be Danny Jacobs. It's got to be a name that just says, all right, you know what, GGG is the real deal. He is what everyone is saying. So I hope that if he comes back in the spring or summer, it's going to be, a lightning name.
Yeah, I agree. So tell us, who do you got tonight? Who's going to win? How's it going to all go down?
Well, you know, contrary to the previous caller, I do like Rios, but I can't pick him in this fight. And I'm surprised a lot of people are going with Rios. I think that you're looking at, you know, I think Alvarado's outside the ring stuff as a big distraction. But for me, you know, Rios did not look good against Chavez. He did not look good against Pacquiao. And I think Rios might have seen his, you know, his best days behind him. So I think Alvarado is going to win this fight.
Well, we touched on it last week. Rios did mention that if he were to lose tonight, that he would contemplate retiring. And I wouldn't be mad at him because he's given us so many wars, but I don't want to see him go either. So that's another reason why I'm really pulling for him to win tonight, because I don't want to see him walk away just yet.
Well, he's going to make $850,000 tonight, so I'm very happy for him, and it's well-deserved.
Very cool. Well, look, thanks for calling in,
thing.
As always.
One more thing, Michelle. Michelle, one more thing. I tweeted at you because I think you asked a week ago about Al Haymon and Super Bowl, so I tweeted at you because I think you wanted to know how much a commercial would cost. I actually got that information for you. So I don't know if you saw it, but a 30-second spot for this particular game for this year is $4.5
million. $4.5 million. Okay, so what I'm going to do is, let's see, $4.5 million. I'm going to bust out my calculator right here. Divide it by $100 million. So it's going to cost him, what, 45 cents a person to watch the commercial. Again, to me, that would still be really, really smart to do. But wait, did I get my math right? About 45 cents a person? Not even.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. So
yeah, because 45 cents is 4.5.
Yeah, I'm sticking to my guns, and I'm saying that they're going to roll out their NBC commercial during the Super Bowl. I'm calling it here first. I mean, what better way to get 100 million people to watch your commercial and take boxing to a whole nother level?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, looking through some notes and stuff on the whole NBC presentation, there's a lot of steps being taken to pull a new audience in, and I think this is one of them. So if it does happen, more credit to you, Michelle, for calling it, but I think it's a great idea.
I think so too. Vlad, thank you for getting me those numbers. And, you know, I like to break them down by, you know, is it really worth it? You know, everybody goes, oh, he wouldn't spend $4.5 million on a commercial. Well, why not if 100 million people are going to watch it? I mean, the return on investment there could be way greater.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, Vlad. We're going to move on, and I'm sure we'll talk later tonight.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Enjoy the fights.
All right. You too. Okay, let's go to 347. 347-733. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's good? It's your boy Mike from Brooklyn. What's going on?
Hey, Mike from Brooklyn.
Not too much. I'm kind of excited about tonight. I'm really not both the Rios or Alvarado fans, but the question about tonight is, later in the last fight, when Alvarado started to box Rios, he couldn't adjust. What do you think is going to happen tonight? I think that Alvarado is going to go toe-for-toe for a couple rounds and make that adjustment and start boxing Rios. And let, I don't know if Rios can make that adjustment to see to make that adjustment when Alvarado starts boxing, and I'm using that term boxing loosely. But what do you guys think?
Jack, you want to go first?
I know, I think you have a valid point. Me personally, and I know we're going to discuss this later, I just think Alvarado has so much going on outside of the ring. I'm just going to give it to Rios. I think he's a little bit more driven. He wants to be back on the big stage. You know, and I like the kid Alvarado. I like them both. I love these kind of fights, as we all know. But I think you have a very, very good point, Mike from Brooklyn.
The one thing I really do hope for this fight, if they're going to go toe-to-toe in a war, that's fine. I mean, for a lot of fight fans, not me. I'm more of a defensive fan, like, you know, like Mayweather and the Andre Ward and Pernell Whitaker. That's the type of stuff I like. The only thing I ask
Terrence
for...
Terrence Crawford.
Thank you very much. The only thing I ask for, if stop it early. So unfortunately, we don't have a Magomed situation, and prayers out to Magomed, because I read something a couple weeks ago. His health is deteriorating. So please, prayers for Mago. So I just hope that if it gets to a point where it gets stopped, stop it early before anything happens like that.
No, oh, absolutely. I think you have a really
good
point.
Before there's too much punishment. Yeah, before there's too much punishment, I'm going to agree with Jackie. I think that Alvarado had way too much going on this camp again, and we saw what happened during the Ruslan fight. He started out okay. He was getting touched. Then he was getting slaughtered, and he gassed out early, and I think we could see the same thing again on Road to Rios Alvarado on HBO. He didn't sound good. He didn't look good. You could tell he's been going through a lot of stuff. It sounded like he was, like, smoking, drinking, and everything. So I think we could maybe see him gas out early. He just has a lot of distractions, you know. And there's a guy in Denver who has a popular show out there. I don't know if you guys follow him. Do you guys follow Brandon? Let's see what his last name is. He's a good one to follow. Hold on, guys. I can't find his name now. Well, anyway, he has a show. I'll get that information for you later, but he's right out of Denver, and he knows a lot of things about Alvarado's camp and a lot of things that go on and prevent him from, you know, training and all. So just on that alone, I'm going to go with Rios.
You know what? I rarely pick Rios, but I think to everybody's point, I think Rios might. I think even with Alvarado making that adjustment, I think Rios realized that, you know what, if he loses, he might retire. So he just might go all out. I'm gonna pick Rios in a unanimous. I don't think it's going to be stopped. I think it's going to go 12. I think it's going to be Rios in a close unanimous decision. I'm going to go 115-113 tonight.
All right. Anything else you want to touch on before we let you go?
Yeah, this Canelo and Kirkland fight. I mean, I know everyone's hyped for it. Not me, because I think Canelo's an opportunist. When they both was at HBO back in 2011, early 2012, that fight should have been made then. But now, being that Kirkland went off a 17-month layoff, you know, whatever the contract situation or whatnot, now Canelo wants to fight him. But he was really dangerous 2-3 years ago. Canelo didn't want any part of him. And then do you really think Kirkland is going to get a decision Cinco de Mayo weekend, Texas? Come on, give me a break. Come on, look what happened with Austin Trout. I think Austin Trout beat Canelo, but the scores and I mean, come on, give me a break. You know how corrupt the Texas Boxing Commission is. They're going to they put the belt on Canelo even before the scores were read against that in that Trout fight. You gotta give me a break, yo. I hope and pray Kirkland and Ann Wolf squash whatever issues they have. I'll give Kirkland a fighting chance, but he's not with Ann Wolf. It's going to be that's another fighter I never pick is Canelo. He might get a very wide decision, even though it might be a close fight.
Well, look, I can't disagree with you. I mean, if that fight ends up in Texas and if it goes 12 rounds and if it's remotely close, you're right, Kirkland's not going to get the decision out there. He wouldn't even get into Vegas, let's be real. He wouldn't get in L.A.
Shoot. Look what happened with Canelo and Lara. Lara beat him, but look what happened. You have that one judge who wasn't even watching the fight is going to score it very wide in favor of Canelo, and the BS is going to happen all over again. So I hope, like I said, Kirkland and Ann Wolf can get it together, please, to give Kirkland a fighting chance. But if it happens in San Antonio on May 2nd, you already know what's going to happen. It's not even worth watching. I wouldn't watch it. I'll be watching whoever Mayweather fight.
All right. Well, look, Money Mike, thanks for calling in. Thank you for giving us your predictions and your take on everything. We'll let you go, and we're going to take a couple more callers before we get into the latest Floyd Mayweather news.
No doubt. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mike. All right. Jackie, should we take one more before we continue on here?
Sure, I think we're on a pretty good streak, so let's keep going.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Area code 626-318. 626, your name and where you're calling from. 626. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name?
This is Jose. Covina, Covina, California.
Oh, okay. Callie in the house. What's good?
Not much. Looking forward to this fight. Question, though. I have a question regarding the this Mayweather fight. I mean, does anybody really want to see, like, Mayweather and Cotto? Realistically, I know you do because you're Puerto Rico, you know.
No,
fan
I don't
favorite
want to see
there.
That fight. No, I don't. No.
No?
No, I don't. No. No, what for?
Well, all right. Now, what I know, I mean, Khan, I mean, with Amir Khan, that would probably be a good matchup. But there's no way that's going to do better, right, than Canelo and Kirkland in Texas on free HBO. Do you guys agree with me?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
100%. Let's see. If they make Mayweather Cotto on pay-per-view on May 2nd, do you think that Canelo Kirkland will still happen on May 2nd on free HBO? You think that they would be ballsy enough to do that?
Oh, all day, absolutely. Absolutely. HBO will send Canelo a free HBO. I mean, ask yourself. You have $45. Can you, you're gonna watch? Are you gonna? You have $45. Are you gonna pay or $50? I don't even know what pay per view is because I don't pay for Mayweather.
$75.
Oh, there you go. Oh, there you go. Just so you know, I always go to the I go to the parties. I don't pay.
I host the parties, so I know.
Yeah, I'm still in the $45 days over here since De La Hoya and Vargas last fought. But I mean, if you have $75, would you rather invest and watch Mayweather Cotto 2 rematch, you know the outcome, or are you going to go watch free Canelo in Texas against a banging what's his name, Ann Wolf and this kid Kirkland.
James Kirkland.
I mean, all day, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Now, being the sports fanatic that we are, we would probably set up two TVs and watch both fights simultaneously.
Right, we've done it before.
But, yeah, I mean, I think everybody would be more intrigued by Canelo Kirkland, and it's free, and it's on HBO. They're gonna do a fantastic job promoting it leading up to that fight. And I think if they make Mayweather Cotto, that would be a huge disappointment all throughout boxing. I mean, I think fans will go mayhem if that happens.
Now, last question. Regarding, what's his name, the Top Rank and Golden Boy feud, or not feud, or, you know, they're back, you know, they kissed and made up. Besides this wrestling fight, and because I think he's promoted by Bob, right?
No, Ruslan is Starboxing, I thought.
Banner Promotion.
Banner Promotion.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Is there any fight that you guys are hearing behind the scenes that Golden Boy and Bob's team is looking to make? What's up with Nonito and Abner? Is that out of the works, or wouldn't that be a good matchup?
I think that ship has sailed. I know that Nonito Zanera is scheduled to fight in the Philippines again in March. They're talking about Leo Santa Cruz maybe fighting Abner Mares. So I think that ship has sailed. You know, and Mares is a Team Heyman boy now. He's no longer a Golden Boy fighter. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get that.
So nothing that you heard, though, right? Nothing, no Top Rank and a Golden Boy fight. I mean, those matchups intrigue me, like Bam Bam and Ortiz. I know Ortiz is Heyman now, but, I mean, that would have been interesting, right?
Well, last weekend at the Wilder-Severn fight, I was talking to someone in the media, and they informed me that it is very possible for a Herrera-Benavidez rematch. You remember that fight?
Oh, yeah.
A month ago, where I guess some people thought Herrera won.
He absolutely won. He absolutely won, I think. But then again, I'm just an HBO paying customer. That night.
Well, other fights that we've been hearing about that we're going to talk about later is some talks about, you know, the Matisse-Ruslan fight in March. We're hearing Andy Lee and Peter Quillen, Linares and Gamboa, maybe in the springtime. Antonio Orozco, Emmanuel Taylor in March. Orlando Salido and Ramon Martinez. That's going to be in April. So we got some pretty decent matchups coming up I don't know if any are Golden Boy top rank handshakes, you know, to say, but
sure.
there's some possibilities. I also read that Terrence Crawford, his next fight is going to be in April, and some potential opponents there are Herrera, if he doesn't rematch Benavidez, maybe Chris Algieri. If they can't make the Matisse fight with Ruslan, they were talking about maybe even Matisse. So that could actually be a top-ranked Golden Boy co-promotion for the Crawford card in April.
Molina, you think Molina has any, you think there's any fire left? I mean, he went to war with Lucas. You think there's enough left in that tank to, I know he's a Covina boy too, I hear. Broner.
Yeah, you know, I really want to say yes, but I can't bring it to say yes. Will he come and give us a fight? Yes. Is he going to give us his all? Absolutely. But I think that Mickey Bay, you know, pretty much had him beat up until that 12th round just by boxing him, and I kind of see Broner doing that. But Broner, I think he could get silly like Mickey Bay did too and leave himself wide open for a shot, and it'd be lights out for him too. But John Molina, he's just given us such great fights, and he's taken a lot of shots, and you know he's gonna give us what he can for sure. He's gonna be ready, but I see Broner pulling it off.
All right, I'm out.
I'm with you 100%. As much as I hate to admit it, I think there's always strategy behind these kinds of things, and I think Broner's gonna get it.
All right, ladies. Well, I'm at the barbershop with the three boys here. So I follow you guys on Instagram, and actually I won't be seeing the fight tonight. I'll be following it on Twitter. So please, round by round or half minute round updates, por favor, because I'm gonna be at my dad's birthday party.
We got you, Jose.
Today, so.
All right, we got you, Jose.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jose.
Jose was mad cool. All right, look, let's jump back into hot topics, Jackie. We got some Floyd Mayweather stuff, and I know that once we start talking about Mayweather, everybody then definitely wants to chime in. So this week, Floyd Mayweather broke his silence on Shade 45. There was an interview where he said Top Rank has just been extremely difficult to deal with in trying to make this Manny Pacquiao fight. That's nothing new. We've heard that before. Let's be real. He does not want Bob Arum involved whatsoever. He called Manny Pacquiao a pawn for not being his own boss and says that they're still negotiating. Jackie, if you had to call it right now, does Mayweather-Pacquiao happen? Yes or no? No in between?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
I think I'm going to say no, too. Watch it happen, and everybody will be like, raging babes. I don't think it's going to happen either. I my gut tells me we're going to get Mayweather-Khan. But Khan is over there in London right now, and apparently Manny Pacquiao's out there, and they're gallivanting around London together talking about a potential matchup, and Khan's out there trying to call his own shots, and I don't think Heyman's too happy about that. But I just don't see Mayweather-Pacquiao happening. Stephen A. Smith this week on ESPN said he is done defending Floyd Mayweather, done. He says, you know, he feels that Manny has already agreed to everything that Floyd has wanted. He agreed to a 60-40 split. He agreed to the drug testing. Stephen A. Smith just no longer wants to talk about it. He said he's no longer going to give Floyd his money because the fans want to see a Pacquiao fight. And, Jackie, what do you think about Stephen A. Smith coming out
Here's my
with
deal.
Those words?
Right. This always bugs me because I do live with a man in the house. So any woman who lives with their man knows that. You know who Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless are. You know who Kerry Champion is. You know that they're on ESPN every single morning. Stephen A. Smith, I'm happy that he's done talking about Mayweather, but I don't think he ever had the right to talk about boxing in the beginning. Last weekend, for the first time in 17 years, we had an American crowned as a heavyweight champion, and Stephen A. Smith didn't say a word on Monday morning or Tuesday morning because of the holiday. You know what I mean? And when they do talk boxing, it's always Mayweather, and then Skip Bayless is always covered in Muhammad Ali, but he hasn't seen a fight since then. So I'm happy. I don't think it's fair to boxing fans who watch Stephen A. Smith go off on, he's not doing this, da-da-da-da-da-da. Stephen A. Smith, he's been abusing boxing fans for 10 years, I'm sorry that you're just getting your feelings hurt now. I'm just saying.
He says, look, we give Mayweather what he wants, which is money. And Floyd has made, what, over $300 million off of us and pay-per-view. So he's like, hey, give us what we want now. And in that retrospect, I kind of understand where he's coming from, but you're right. You
I
know,
totally understand where he's coming from, but we've been coming from there as boxing fans for how long?
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's great that you have this huge platform, and it's great that you show some kind of interest in boxing, but if you have a platform that Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless and Carrie Champion do every morning, then give people other options with boxing than just Floyd Mayweather. Tell them about Deontay Wilder. Tell them about, you know, the Danny Garcia fights. Tell them about, hey, there's going to be more boxing on your TV. Don't just say Floyd Mayweather's not fighting Manny Pacquiao, and I'm mad.
Yeah. Well, how about, let me ask you this. If Floyd goes out of boxing, retires without fighting Manny Pacquiao, do you think he'll be known for his legacy, or will he be known for, oh, he's the one who avoided Manny Pacquiao?
I think it's both. I really do. I think it'll be a good mixture of both. I think he'll be known for the defensive genius and his record, assuming he retires undefeated, stuff like that. But there's always going to be but he never fought Manny Pacquiao. So people, the Floyd lovers, are going to go blue in the face talking about he was one of the best to ever do it, and da-da-da-da-da-da, but there's always going to be that comma, but he never fought Manny Pacquiao. I don't think that's going to be first when it's all said and done, but I think that's definitely going to be there.
Yeah, well, more on Floyd Mayweather, more news. On sportsnews.com, Tasha Robinson-White, she is a former Floyd Mayweather assistant. She apparently is coming out with an all-new tell-all book, and she's shedding light on Floyd's chaotic lifestyle, the way he spends money. The name of the book supposedly is going to be called Right Hand to the Champ. It hasn't been released yet, but I think that there might be a publisher on board. She's talking about how he prefers to carry large sums of cash in a duffel bag. What else? That he loves to lavish his friends with gifts.
He doesn't pay his employees weekly. He pays them whenever he wants, and then if he doesn't feel like paying them in cash, he'll just buy them a nice bag or something.
She also talks about he was conned out of $15 million by a con man. I mean, look, I don't know if I believe everything she's saying, but these are just some of the things that she's saying. She goes through some of his highs, some of his lows. She talks about when Floyd was discussing his own plans for his own funeral and his own death after he got that domestic dispute charge against, I guess it was Josie, the mother of his three children in 2012.
Right.
You know, this is like the third tell-all book that somebody has said they were going to put out. And so far, there has yet to be a book put on the shelf. So whether these women or whether these people are looking for a check or attention, I don't think that we'll ever get to see this book in Barnes & Noble either. Jackie, your take on
this? I hope not. I hope we don't ever see it in Barnes & Noble, because then I'm going to feel really bad about the state of literature. But if I walk into Barnes & Noble, I'm seeing, you know, it's how I feel when I see, like, Confessions of a Video Vixen on the bestsellers table at Barnes & Noble. It really upsets me because, I don't know, maybe I'm a geek, but I'm an avid reader, and literature has to maintain a certain... Anybody can publish a book now. I don't know if this has a publisher. I think you said there might be one on board, whatever. I think whenever somebody starts to write this, you have to think that Mayweather's first move is going to be to send out a cease and desist, number one. A Funkmaster Flex had on his blog a lot of the stuff that you just went over, some excerpts and stuff. I just don't know. I have no doubt that the actions explained actually happened. You know what I mean? It sounds very much like what we see of him on 24/7 and Twitter and Instagram
exactly.
And all that.
Exactly.
So I don't think it's going to be anything new. I mean, the one interesting thing that I did read was that the reason he came out of retirement was because he was spending his money too quickly and he was going bankrupt. That was on one of the excerpts on the Funkmaster Flex thing I read about it. But, you know, and I don't know if I totally believe that. I do. I have heard here and there that he's not the best investor and he keeps all of his cash in one Bank of America account and whatever. But I don't think we'll ever see a book on the shelf. And if there was, I'm not sure I'd read it.
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. What more can this person tell us that we have not seen on 24/7 or All Access? I mean, we've seen him carrying around book bags and duffel bags of money. We've seen him throw hundreds and thousands of dollars at strippers. We've seen all this. We've seen how he has, you know, seven girlfriends. We've seen how he buys cars and everything else. So again, what more are you putting in this tell-all book? We know that he was arrested for domestic violence with the mother of
right.
his children. So you're really not telling us anything new. So again, I think that this is, maybe wanting a check. Like you said, they'll probably put out a cease and desist. Maybe she'll want some type of settlement. But I think it's just corny.
Right.
I mean, Josie,
I think so too.
The mother,
and I think the point, I think maybe, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think the point of a tell-all, unless Mayweather, and more power to him if he really is super, super transparent and lets everything out there. Because everything that I'm seeing and everybody who gets out in the media about him or says stuff, it's like it's all stuff we see. So the point of a tell-all is to tell what's behind the front that people put up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think we're abusing the word tell-all. We're abusing the idea of putting a book out and having that as a serious accomplishment in an author's life. And I just don't think there's any more I ever want to see about Floyd Mayweather throwing money at 20 strippers in a room working.
Now, the only show that I would want to see, and because I watch a lot of ratchet reality TV,
he needs
like a sister wives reality show.
Yes.
Because when
I'm down.
I mean, forget about how he lives. He's got like seven girlfriends, and I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they stick around. I don't know how they get paid or what they – look, I don't get it, but I would love to, like, spend a day and be, like, a fly on the wall with these women.
That's the reality show
of Floyd Mayweather's that I would want to see.
I'm totally in. I'm sold. I'm down. I think it would be more Bad Girls Club than Sister Wives, but if we can get that creepy white guy from Sister Wives to, like, moderate, it'd be even better. I'm in.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go back to the lines, and let's see. We have a caller from the 803 who's been on hold for about 18 minutes. 803-240, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Carolina.
South Carolina, my buddy from South
Carolina.
What's good?
Yeah, I'm going to make my pick on the fight. I like Brandon Rios, hopefully, to win out. I don't know if he's going to win, but I just like him, man. I just hope he wins, man. I just like him as a fighter. I just think he's good at the box. I like his style. I like his personality. I just like everything about him as a fighter, and I just hope he wins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I got nothing against Mike Alvarado. Now. I'm not saying I got nothing against Mike Alvarado, but and I just like Brent. He's my second favorite fighter. I hope he wins tonight.
Well, I hope so, too. Like I said, I'm not ready to see Brandon Rios leave our sport because I think he's made for TV, and I think people really relate to him. He's like that regular dude, and even though he's got millions of dollars, he doesn't act like he's got millions of dollars. You know, he doesn't flaunt it. He's not flashy. You know, he has a regular house. He's got a wife. He's got kids. He's got, you know, regular cars. So, you know, I just really like him in boxing.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too. And I was on Twitter today, and I want to ask you what you think about Amir Khan throwing all that shade at Kell Brook. You saw that?
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that shade, man? You first you saying he ain't big enough, you ain't worrying about him, but you checking him for something.
Who, Khan?
Yeah, he was talking trash early. You know, he always talking about Kell Brook ain't on his level, and he too big for Kell Brook or whatnot. But now when I look on Twitter, he's throwing shade, you know, about him fighting JoJo Dan.
You know, Khan is just so cocky, and so arrogant. And I don't know if it's because where he's from, maybe we take him his words a little differently. But in his eyes, he's invincible. And in his eyes, you know, he's the moneymaker. And Kell Brook is nowhere on his level. And I don't even see Khan fighting him next or the fight after next. I think that they really genuinely don't like each other.
Yeah, but Khan's stuff don't make no sense because only thing he do is say the same thing that Floyd said to him. He just say it to Brooke. And I was like, you don't understand that? That's the only thing he do. He just like basically like whatever Floyd said to me, I'm going to just say to Brooke.
and not well, for nothing, but JoJo Dan is the mandatory for Calbrook, I believe. I saw that
right.
out on Twitter. So, I mean, say what you got to say, but the dude's got – he has to do what he has to do, whether he's fighting an Uber driver or not, or whoever, you know? That's right.
Yeah,
but
why
really,
even checking,
it's really
why
odd.
Even checking for Brooke? He shouldn't even be
Wait,
checking for him.
Saying.
He's so big.
It makes Khan look very misinformed and very up his own ass in a little bit, in a way, you know?
Oh, okay.
Well, okay. Kell Brook is set to make his first defense of the 147 IBF title belt, as Jackie said, against JoJo Dan, and that's going to happen on March 28th in England.
Right. I like
Kell
Brook.
So Kell
like
Brook
Kell
got
Brook.
A fight.
Yeah. I
right.
like Kell Brook. My only thing I don't like, I mean, I don't say the only thing I don't like about him, but what I don't like about a lot of these boxers that's in the position to take it to the next level, my question is, like, why don't a lot of these fighters take it to the next level? What I mean by that is, all right, looking at boxing and watching boxing, there's only a couple of things that's going to get you to that Mayweather level. And that's putting that pressure on Mayweather to get, you got to have that momentum. Like he got that big momentum win with Porter, right? Now, nowadays, these fighters don't never get 2 and 3 momentum wins together no more. They always get that one momentum win and then try to go steal some money or something. But that's not going to get you nowhere now. Back in the day, like when Floyd was on his streak, when everybody was like Floyd was younger, he was trying, he did not want momentum wins. And then once he done got to that point, then he starts stealing money. But you got these fighters now, they don't want to get the momentum wins like Garcia. That's one of my favorite fighters. When he beat Matisse, his momentum was off the roof. And
yeah.
then he tried to go back and steal some money with Herrera. And then the other guy, man, you got to keep that momentum up. Like even Keith Thurman, he said he want the big fights, but he don't got the momentum wins. You talk that trash, but you want Floyd. But, man, you got to – I'm going to tell you, if you want to get Floyd, only two ways to get him. Momentum. And then tell him you will fight him for $1 million or $2 million. Then you go fight him. You can't go in there talking. If you fight him for $1 million or $2 million, he's gonna give you that fight, and you gotta have some momentum.
Well, I agree with you. A lot of fighters lost a lot of momentum, but they all had one common denominator. You mentioned Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, Leo Santa Cruz, Peter Quillin, Adonis Stevenson. They're all advised by Al Haymon. And again, it's not me shitting on Al Haymon, but those guys really did lose a lot of momentum, and we only saw them fight maybe once or twice last year, and some of them were coming off of their biggest, most spectacular wins. So maybe, you know, Haymon was, like, hiding something in his back pocket for the NBC deal, and maybe he was planning for that. But, my God, I mean, they just fell off in 2014.
Yeah. Well, maybe now we're about to see, because I like when the fighters, like, see, if I was a boxer, man, looking back, man, once you get one momentum win, I'm going for the guy. I want the other one. I'm not going to go from, you know, Matisse to Herrera. I'm going to go from Matisse, then I'm going to get whoever next on him. That's how it used to be, man. You go up. You don't go back, straddle the fence. You go up until you get the big prize, which is Mayweather. But everybody trying to be, you know, all scientific with their travels. They trying to, you know, be all just go for it, man. You beat the number 7 the contender. Go for the number 6, the number 5. They don't do that.
I feel you. Well, look, D from South Carolina, thank you for calling in. You got Rios tonight. So do I. Enjoy the fight tonight, and we'll talk next week.
All right, bet.
All right.
Thank you.
D from South Carolina. All right. Since we were talking about Haymon and some of his fighters, let's just roll into the next hot topic, and that is Haymon Boxing. Fight TV kicks off March 13th. just a week after NBC announced their multi-year deal with Al Heyman, Al Heyman then goes and unveils another television deal with the cable network Spike TV. So this is what we know so far, Jackie. The first card has taken place on March 13th in California. No venue has been locked in yet, but that card will be headlined by Andre Berto versus Josecito Lopez. And in the co-main event, we have Sean Porter versus Roberto Garcia. The number of Spike TV cards that we're going to get is still unclear. But it looks like Heyman needed another network to put his fighters at, which leads me to ask, what about Showtime? You know, was Steven Espinoza in the know about this Spike TV deal too? I mean, he said he knew about the NBC deal. He said, yeah, I was on board with Heyman. We're going to have the fighters fight on NBC so they can come back to Showtime with a bigger audience and a bigger fan base. Well, you know, was that the plan for the fighters to go to Spike to develop a fan base too? Your thoughts on the Spike deal?
You know, there's a couple of different things I noticed about the Spike deal. I think that Spike and NBC have different audiences, so I think it's a good idea. I'm not sure about how they're splitting up the talent between Showtime and NBC and Spike. That's kind of throwing me off a little bit. I also don't like that it's going to compete with ESPN. I think that, you know, I know I'm asking a lot as a boxing fan, but if we can get a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so maybe we could follow fighters through Spike and then NBC or ESPN and then NBC and then ultimately Showtime and HBO. I think that would be a good idea. So I'm not sure how I feel about it all being on Friday nights or Saturday nights. I think it would be nice to spread it out. I know Golden Boy's been doing some Tuesday night stuff here and there, and I like it. I do. I did notice, I read somewhere in the notes that you pulled together for us, which is so great, that Al Michaels would be hosting the show. Al Michaels is known as the voice of the Super Bowl. He's an Olympic. He covers the Olympics. He covers mainstream sports. I think that's a great idea. I think it gives viewers who are clicking through the channel a familiar face. I'm sure they're going to have commentators that are more known to the boxing fans. But casual fans aren't going to get our inside jokes about Larry Merchant or Roy Jones Jr. So I think it's good to have a neutral face.
Yeah. No, I agree.
The only issue I have with all of this is why no boxing media has been invited to these press conferences. I mean, it's one thing to invite non-boxing media to let them know it's even existing, because a lot of other websites don't know we exist sometimes. But to not invite boxing media, if you want to get it absolutely all over, just that would seem like a smart move to me. But I like it. Overall, I like it. There's more that I like than what I don't like. So I'm in.
Well, I agree. And like I told Giandra last week, a lot of media members in boxing, you know, walked through the trenches last year in boxing with some awful fights, some mismatches, and, you know, but they stuck it out and they still covered the fights. They still traveled for the fights. They still gave the fighters exposure. And so I feel like, yeah, there should be some more boxing media members there, especially the ones that were covering every single fight last year.
Right, and I feel like it's a little smack in the face. Like, you did that. You know, I sat in the Barclays Center for Garcia Salfo with 5,000 of my, you know what I mean? I feel like we did that and we enjoyed it and it was boxing. So why smack us in the face now when we're actually getting some good stuff going on? I don't think it's fair.
Yeah. Well, let's see what Heyman makes out of Spike TV, you know, which fighters are going to go there. But, you know, more fights, better for everyone. But like you said, now they're going up against Friday night fights. So we're kind of being told to, you know, pick again unless we set our two TVs up like I would do. Last couple tidbits. I mean, we only got about 20 minutes left. This weekend, Manny Pacquiao is going to be a judge for the Miss Universe pageant. You can check him out on Sunday at 8 o'clock on NBC. And Sugar Shane Mosley did clear the air this week about Jin and her new reality show, which I was telling you guys on this reality show, she keeps on saying that Shane has been living in her basement. And he pretty much took to his Instagram and shot her down and just said, you know, I have more than enough money. I was at your house visiting my children. You know, take your dumbass show and kick rocks. He called her thirsty and all types of shit. And it's a shame because they go back and forth a lot, and they seemed really cordial on the show. But now, you know, maybe she was just using his name, you know, to try to get more ratings, which that's whack.
Yeah, and I mean, her show's on Bravo, so throwing out Shane Mulsey's name isn't really going to help you get ratings on Bravo, I don't think. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. I feel bad for him in a way because I feel like as he grows older and his legacy is more cemented as how good he was as a boxer, he's tarnishing all of that with the social media bullcrap. You know, it's just back and forth. It's craziness. Did she sleep with Trey Songz? Or, oh, that's Bella. I'm sorry. I can't keep him straight. Did Bella sleep with Trey Songz together or not? Jim's all over TV saying he's living in my basement. He's like, no, I'm not. It's a lot of, like, messy. It's messy. And I just don't like that. I don't like mess.
Yeah. Well, all right. We're going to open it back up to the lines. We want to take your fight predictions for tonight, some upcoming fights, some potential fights that have been talked about this week. I believe it was Tuesday night that Julio Chavez put out a tweet that said he's going to fight Fonfara. And then Bob Arum shortly after put out a statement that said, I'm suing Chavez, I'm suing Al Haynon. We didn't make that fight. But Chavez is saying that that fight was confirmed. Again, probably speaking out of line. Canelo Kirkland, we talked about that earlier. That looks like we're going to get that May 2nd in San Antonio. Cotto, you know, apparently per Bob Arum, stopped negotiating with Golden Boy because Canelo was disrespecting him in the media, and it was coming out in all the Mexican newspapers, and Cotto felt disrespected by that. And I'm just, get over it. Like, Cotto, get the fuck over it. If that's really, you know, why he stopped negotiating this fight, then I think he's lame.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, you're a big boy. As much as I just said I don't like messiness on social media, well, we all know when it comes down to contracts and negotiations and stuff, people are going to go out in the meter to get you riled up, and you can't just punk out of that.
Other fights that were either announced or talked about, Terrence Crawford's going to return April 18th. Possibilities are Chris Algieri, Herrera, Matisse. However, it looks like Matisse Provodnikov is going to get made for March 28th, so that probably puts him out of the running for a Crawford fight. There's still heavy talks about Andy Lee, Peter Quillen, talking about getting him on the Garcia-Peterson undercard, which, again, Peter Quillen's going to find himself fighting for the belt that Khouribov had for probably half price, and he's still going to be on the undercard of a fight. So some of these decisions, I don't get it. Linares, Gamboa, maybe in the springtime. Right now they're trying to figure out if they're going to put that in Mexico, if it's going to be here in the States. Amir Khan has been gallivanting all over London with Manny Pacquiao. He's calling Pacquiao his plan B. Would love to fight him in Dubai or London. We mentioned Kell Brook is going to fight Jojo Dan March 28th in England. This week they announced Antonio Orozco versus Emmanuel Taylor on HBO Latino March 12th. I love that fight. That's a great matched fight right there. I love that one. Orlando Salido will take on Ramon Martinez in San Juan, Puerto Rico, April 11th. So those are the fights we heard about. Those are some that have been confirmed. So anyway, let's get your fight night predictions. I'm going to start with Mayan. Mike Alvarado says he's ready for another epic fight tonight. He says we're going to see a great fight. Brandon Rios, he's expecting a tremendous war. I don't know if we're going to get a war, but I do see Rios winning. I do see him maybe stopping Alvarado. I don't know if we'll see, you know, like a NyQuil treatment knockout, but I think we'll see some type of TKO. Jackie, give us your official prediction for tonight.
I said it before, and I'm staying the same. I think Alvarado has way too many distractions outside the ring. I think it would have really helped him. I don't know if he can leave the state with his bail situation prior to this most recent charge, but to get away for camp and really focus and not be distracted, it's really a shame. But I think all that's going to get to him. Rios has said publicly that he might retire, so I feel like that gives him more to fight for. I think it's going to be Rios. I'm not sure about a stoppage or decision. It would be safe for him to say go in the distance, but I wouldn't be surprised by a stoppage. But definitely Rios over Alvarado. And I think it's going to be a good fight like their other two. And I just hope nobody suffers too much long-term damage with the way they fight. It's always a concern.
Yeah. All right, we have 15 minutes. Let's go to the line. We have somebody who's been holding here for about 7 minutes from the 312. 312-813. What's your name and where are you calling from? 312. What? Let's see. I don't know what this area code is. Let's see. Caller, are you there? Hello? Nope. Here we go, 347. I'm still getting the hang of this. 347-755, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
What's going on? It's Dre from Queens.
Dre from Queens, what's good?
Ain't shit, chilling. I want to say I got Rios ending it in 10 tonight.
Mm-hmm. Rios, and why are you giving us that?
I don't know. I just think he's going to end up hurting him too bad by the 10th round. It'll be over. Alvarado got lucky last time going the distance there. It's not going to happen this time. It's going to be more like the first fight. And then I want to go back to what y'all was talking about, Stephen A. Smith. I get pissed off every time they talk about boxing on that show. They have
Thank
the platform.
You.
They have the platform to do more. They don't even promote Friday night fights. They never go down a rankings list or anything like that. And then
Nothing.
Once a week, they try to draw ratings by talking about Floyd and Pacquiao. Pretty unprofessional. They call themselves journalists. I don't get it. And
Thank
then
you
also,
so much.
Why is everybody mad about this Cotto Floyd part two? I mean, Cotto's
well,
more dangerous now than he was then.
Really? Well, okay, maybe I should ask you, you know, why are you excited for that fight? Because, let's be real, Cotto came back and he beat Delvin Rodriguez, and then he beat Sergio Martinez. You know, he made some history there, but let's be real, Sergio was pretty much fighting on one leg. He had no knees on him, so do we really
one
believe
leg and
that
no chin to
Cotto
with
back?
Anyway, though.
What'd you say?
I said he had one leg and no chin to start with anyway. So Cotto was going to drop him anyway, even if he didn't have him, if he had both his legs with him. And anyway, the way Cotto moves around the ring, the power that he has, he always keeps his guard up. He's disciplined in there. He has a lot of tools that could give Floyd a tough fight. He already did that once before, and now the quote-unquote evil genius, Freddie Roach in the ring, in his corner and stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying he's going to beat Floyd, but I think it's a tougher fight than Jesse Vargas.
Jesse Vargas.
But what's the point of a rematch if you know you're not going to win this time again?
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. What's the point of a rematch if you know, like, the general public assumes you're going to lose again, so why would you go in for the rematch? Because the point of a rematch is you lost the first one, you're going to actually, you know, a successful rematch is winning the second one. So if it's not going to be a successful rematch, where's the interest?
I mean, do you think Cotto doesn't think he's going to go in there and win? You think Cotto thinks
I mean,
he's really
I think
lose?
Everybody who gets in the ring with Mayweather thinks they have the blueprint. But, as you know, you have to, I'm hoping there's somebody in their life with a little lot just saying, hey, this might not work out.
And they
so,
were gonna, they're going to do it at 160 too, right? Isn't that it? They're going to do it at 160?
I don't know, but I'm really still not drinking the Kool-Aid that, you know, Miguel Cotto is back. I like Cotto, you know what I mean? Boricua and all that. But I'm still not going to drink that Kool-Aid like, you know, he's this new fighter. I can't.
Okay, so if it ain't Pacquiao or Cotto, who else other than Khan? Who else could it
be? It's got to be Khan. I mean, I think if they don't make the Pacquiao fight, then it is going to be either Cotto or Khan. And I think at this point, believe it or not, I think everyone much rather watch Mayweather fight Khan.
Only because it's something different. I don't think he's really
exactly.
that much of a tougher test than Cotto. The reach and the speed, but that's about it. I think Floyd could really hurt him. I think Floyd could tap that jaw and give him some trouble there.
I don't know. I
don't want to see Cotto either. I think Khan's like the quote-unquote fresher face in the whole who's maybe they're going to fight debate. So I'd still watch Canelo Kirkland over it on May 2nd, but I wouldn't be mad.
Wow.
I wouldn't really be surprised if this was all like a setup of some sort where it's like, hey, Cotto, we need you to step aside because we want people to think that maybe we're going to fight you or something. You know, you need to, like, stop talking about that Canelo fight because we're trying to work out this Pacquiao deal. But if it don't happen, we're probably going to fight Khan anyway. Cotto is a businessman. You know what I mean? He could have been offered money. He could have just been told, hey, stay on ice for a minute because we might want you in the rematch. And I don't think Cotto's going to get that fight. I still think that Cotto should fight Andy Lee. In my opinion, if Andy Lee had a smart team, they wouldn't even be looking at Peter Quillin. They'd be trying to get the fight with Cotto in New York.
Yeah, you know what? That would definitely do his numbers in New York. And it'll be a tough fight for Cotto because Andy Lee, his reach, his toughness, he hits hard. I haven't thought about that fight. That's a pretty good matchup right there.
That's a really good match.
It would do really well in New York, too.
Absolutely. I'd be there.
All right, Drew. Well, thanks for calling in and giving us your predictions for tonight, and enjoy the show.
All right, ladies. Be easy.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, we have one more caller, and then we're going to wrap it up here from the 312-813. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, how you doing? My name is Tony.
Good. Tony,
yeah,
where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Yeah,
I was I got real in this fight. I agree with you. I think Alvarado's kind of crazy, and he's going through a lot of problems. So I got real, and I think that actually like smart money's gonna go on Cotto right now fighting Andy Lee in the Garden. I think he had a chance to fight, I guess Canelo or whatever, but I guess Puerto Rican and an Irish kid in the Garden.
Yeah.
You know, I think that'll be a big fight. So, you know, other than that, you know, I was listening to you guys and, you know, glad to hear you guys, you know, on the radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony, for calling. Is it cold out there in Chicago? You guys get any snow? I know Jackie got some in Jersey.
Yeah, it's heading our way. Tomorrow we're going to get
it.
Oh, so.
Man.
Yeah,
so you have it. I don't want any more.
All right.
Well, Tony, thanks for calling in. All right, Jackie. I think that does it. I think we touched on all the hottest topics and the headlines for the week. We got our upcoming fights. We got predictions. All in all, I think we had a great show. Make sure you follow Jackie at The Boxing Diva. That's TheBoxingDiva. The undercard tonight, the live stream, starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on TopRank.tv, and then the live HBO broadcast tonight is at 9:45 Eastern Standard Time on HBO2. Make sure you give us a follow on Twitter. We're going to be actively on there tonight interacting with everyone and, you know, just giving our commentary and our thoughts. Tomorrow morning we'll be back with the morning after at 9 a.m., which is 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Jackie, any thoughts before signing off?
I just thank you for welcoming me onto your show and giving me an opportunity to get back onto some boxing radio. And I think we had really great callers all throughout the show. We had a really good conversation. We touched on a lot of great topics. So I think it was a great time, and I can't wait to do it again.
All right. Sounds good. Everyone, enjoy the fights tonight, and be safe out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.